Prepare to dive into the forefront of healthcare innovation at our 14th annual meeting coming up on April 8th through 11th at the Hyatt Regency in Chicago, with thousands of industry leaders converging over four dynamic days of discussions on crucial topics from health IT to executive leadership. It's where the future of healthcare takes shape. We can't wait to connect with you in person and engage in these important conversations.
This is Laura Deirdo with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Bradley Crotty, Vice President and Chief Digital Officer of Freighter Theta Health. Dr. Crotty, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you, Laura. Happy to be here.
Now, I'm looking forward to learning more about some of the successful projects that you've been doing recently and how you're thinking about the future. But before we dive into my questions, can you tell me a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Sure. I have been in healthcare for about 20 plus years, more than half spent in the informatics space. My focus has always been on how we can use the technology that we have to really make our care processes much more efficient and frankly work better for our patients that we're serving, as well as our clinical teams. My role is as the Chief Digital Officer for Freighter Theta Care Health, and also I serve as the interim president of our digital subsidiary that we call Inception Health. I also continue to see patients as an internist as well.
Well, that's a lot to take on. I can imagine you're pretty busy. And you know, it's really cool to hear about your innovation center as well, and just, you know, excited that you're able to do all of these things in the healthcare space. Now, given that, what are some of your top priorities for the next year or so?
Well, there's no shortage of things going on, but, you know, very clearly, you know, number one priority is to continue to develop out our population health programs vis-a-vis digital. The way that we've been organizing digital and population health is to really fit very closely together. And we're continuing to develop those programs around virtual nursing, remote patient monitoring, and our digital therapeutics that we have to support chronic care management. So, and that remains, a number one priority. Second priority we have is we're still focusing on making healthcare easier for people. And one of the engineers on our team, reminded me very astutely, sometimes you can't make things simple that are complex. And we often will say, oh, we need to simplify X, we need to simplify Y. But frankly, there's a lot of complexity in healthcare. But the engineer went on to say, but you can make it easy. And that's what we're focusing on as well. We have a large body of work right now around our patient engagement center. And then over top of that, we're overlaying a conversational AI program on top to make it really easy for our patients to be able to make transactions anytime, anywhere, through the web, through voice, through chat. So getting that integrated, getting that developed, getting that developed in close partnership with our operators is a big focus of ours. We have a fairly broad scope of that. And then the third thing that we're looking at, from a priority perspective, is really looking at how we can reimagine some of our clinical care programs. So now that we have telehealth capabilities, now that we have such high connection with our patients through portal, mobile applications, and the like, how can we start to evolve the care model so it's less about what we're doing in the clinical office and more of what we can do together with the patient at home, enabled by technology? So how we develop those programs, coming out of the pandemic, we certainly did a lot of telehealth and telemedicine, but our focus right now is really how we can dig in and create sustainable programs that really provide high value for patients. So those are our three of our top priorities here.
That's so interesting to hear about, and especially, you know, that last point you mentioned about reimagining clinical care and bringing the virtual aspect into it and how that becomes part of the whole care offerings within the health system. You know, when you look at clinical care and with your background as a physician and continuing to practice physician as well, what do you, I guess, see as being the evolution over the next 3, 4, 5 years or so? How do you really see organizations leaning into change in this kind of reimagined workforce as well as access points within the healthcare space?
I think we've been talking about team-based care for a while, and I think it's now really time that we embrace the best of that. And we're working through that internally with our advanced practice providers, with our nurses, with our MDDOs. You know, what does that care team look like? And then the other aspect is, how can we augment and enable the and support the care team from a distance? And you know, I think we're seeing a culture. What I've witnessed in my own clinical practice is we've had a culture from very hyper localized care, you know, really being about the very local on the ground care team, to really more of a systems of care approach. So, you know, how can we layer in population health programs, for example? How can we layer in centralized resources? And we've been doing this certainly with our own population health efforts as well as our digital outreaches. But the culture has evolved. And I think a lot of it has to do with just there's so much on the plate of our clinical care teams right now that it's not just hard to keep up. It's impossible to keep up. And I think we have an obligation to, you know, make it easier for our care teams to deliver what they do best and to take things off of their plate in other ways. So, you know, the conversation around how we share work are definitely becoming more fruitful and changing. And I think that's not just at our organization. I think that's really across the industry. And that means that we do have teams that evolve, teams that change, roles that change, and we learn how to work in a more distributed model. We have evolution of you know, certain roles, and let's take telehealth, you know, for example, and portal messages. You know, people want to get in touch with their clinician for advice, and we've been doing this since around 1999, 2000, where we've had portals that have been available for patients to send in and message. And now with the penetration of portal access, internet access, on-the-go smartphone use, this is really the way that patients first want to interact with us. Do I have a problem? If I do, can you see me today? Or can you work me in? And we don't have a system of care for that. And so right now we're seeing clinicians managing portal messages on lunch breaks, after they put their kids to bed, before they start clinic in the day. And this is not a way to run a service. If anything, it does lead to the contribution of just the fatigue and burnout that we're seeing across. And patients appreciate the messages, but also they understand that clinicians are doing this sort of outside of visits. And at least our research has shown that they do self-censor and are respectful. But even with that, there's still a lot of messages that are coming forward. You know, a lot of the conversation in the industry has been about adding a fee to those messages as a way to either make it more fair to acknowledge the work being done, or to, you know, potentially gatekeep or throttle messages coming in, which I can understand the fairness. I have a challenge with putting up more barriers to access and communication with patients. But all that being said, what if we took an opportunity to reimagine, you know, that how patients interact with the healthcare system and with the clinics? And what if we built a system of care that started digital first and then brought someone into in person, or got to the specific clinician if only they could answer? But there's there's a lot that we could do in this space. And this is what I'm really excited that we're starting to lean in and really reimagine how patients can interact with us. I mean, in a way, we've been talking about digital front door, you know, for years, particularly in the digital health space. A digital front door is more than building an app or having a new website. It's really reimagining how people walk through that door and how they interact. And I think we're finally getting there.
Well, that's truly fascinating to think about. And, you know, exciting, as you mentioned, that we're getting to a space where that type of mindset and ability to connect with patients on the digital front, you know, and really thinking through how that integrates with the entire clinical team and experience is really great to hear. And digital first, too. You know, I can imagine that's much easier said than done in terms of applying the technologies and workflows and whatnot. But I really think an exciting way to look at the future. And with that in mind, you know, I think you mentioned so much there. I was wondering if you could talk about your most successful project from the last year or two. What did you do and how did you measure the results?
Absolutely. Well, none of the work that, you know, we have that we're working through is de novo. We're really, you know, taking several incremental steps. So I'll just take, you know, our virtual nursing, you know, for example. You know, this is really an evolution of work that we've had with an EICU that we've been able to successfully develop a very talented nursing team that really fills a lot of gaps and really delivers value. They've delivered value in our COVID remote monitoring. They've delivered value in helping patients stay safe as they transition out of the intensive care units, particularly when our intensive care unit censuses are high, and providing extra support to the units. You know, I was looking over our numbers, and you know, last year we had 10,000 telehospitalist interventions, you know, by this team. So I think we're really learning how to work again with a centralized virtual resource in a way that really respects the care on the grounds, but really supports and augments, provides an additional layer of safety, and we're really excited to build on that. You know, our building on top of, you know, newer clinical programs and services we're seeing across the industry, several try to address that problem that I was mentioning earlier around digital access and portal messages, and really looking for guidance and advice on where to turn. Some organizations have had success putting bots in front. We have developed a fairly robust asynchronous care program, and we continue to see volume increasing through that. What I was going to say is, you know, our investment in our digital front door, we want to make it as easy as possible for people to get where they need to go within the healthcare system safely, effectively, and then to develop that relationship. And one of the measures that we've been using for that, in addition to monthly active users and other such utilization metrics, is are we also bringing in new unique patients in the healthcare system? And we're finding that, you know, as we do develop systems that make it easy for people to interact, that we can start to lay that, you know, lay that path for people to become more connected with us. Another thing that we've been working on is, you know, this foundational data layer in order to be able to deliver on our population health promises. And we've been working both with Epic as a partner. We're an early adopter of the campaigns tools to be able to do care gap closure, as well as investing in our own data lake and cloud that we also are using to close care gaps. And I think we'll be continuing to, you know, see development in these spaces. But we're looking at, you know, efficiency. We're looking at things move from telephone calls to more digital contacts, looking at how many, for example, care gaps that we can address while respecting our patients' time of not keeping them on hold and our staff time of being able to automate tasks where we can. And lastly, I would point out that our digital therapeutics program, as it relates to population health, is still continuing to make really important differences. When we see patients that are engaged in our digital diabetes program, they have a sustaining A1C drop of about 2%, and they have better sustainment when they're digitally engaged. When not, we have a very lightweight program now that we're doing for hypertension control and management over SMS, and we're seeing patients that consent and enroll in that program with our care coordinators have an 80% higher likelihood of being under their goal blood pressure. So we're starting to see, several of these structural investments now turn into real outcomes. And I think as we further develop our care models, we can double down and get greater gains here.
That's amazing to hear. And definitely, a lot of time, effort spent into, invested into these types of programs. And so it's awesome to know that, you're starting to see those results. Dr. Karate, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. This has been such a fascinating conversation, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Thank you so much, Laura. Pleasure to be here.